Welcome to the Readerly Report. Your hosts are Gail Weiswasser and Nicole Bonilla. We hope you will enjoy our candid book conversations, recommendations, and observations on the reading life. Thanks so much for joining us. Welcome to another edition of the Readerly Report. Today, Gail and I are here to talk about some spring paperbacks. And also, I was recently on vacation, so I'll let you know what I took with me, what I managed to read, and how that all went. So, Gail, what have you been up to since our last show?
Oh, boy.
Well, that good.
yeah. My reading drought has continued. It's really embarrassing. It's just completely not like me at all to have read this small number of books this year.
What do you think that's about?
But I think I'm just super busy.
Right.
I think that, and I think a lot of it is because of the bookstore. So I can provide a bookstore update.
Oh, cool.
Exciting. I don't have that much reading update, but at least it's book adjacent.
Yes. We love to hear about the bookstore.
Yeah. Since we last talked, I'm not even sure what I have finished as far as reading. I did read Remarkably Bright Things. Shelby Van Pelt, I think is the name. This book is the one with the octopus on the cover that has been all over the place. This was my book club book. So this is a book about an octopus that lives in an aquarium in the Pacific Northwest. And of course has a mind of his own because octopuses are very intelligent creatures. In fact, they are known as remarkably bright creatures. And it's about a woman, kind of an older woman living in the Pacific Northwest who actually cleans the aquarium at night. And a young man who appears in town, and there appears to potentially be a connection between the older woman and the younger man. And of course, the octopus can sense it, and he sort of, through his own machinations, brings them together. So, I mean, that it sounds like a super heartwarming story. It definitely has like darker elements to it, but it is like a heartwarming book. It was fine. I didn't love it. I know that people love that book. And are like, oh, it was charming and amazing. I don't know. I thought it was okay. Nothing incredible. I enjoyed the perspective into the octopus because I think they're really interesting creatures. But I'd give it like a solid 4 stars, but not more than that. So
okay.
I did manage to finish that book. Yeah. And I'm reading a book now called Piglet. I think.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Lottie Hazel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lottie Hazel. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. About a woman in London who is about to get married to her fiance when he reveals that he has betrayed her in some unspecified way. And the question is sort of what she does with that information close to the wedding. And it's kind of about her own identity, her own appetites, her own insecurities, and how they in some ways kind of rule her life and whether or not she can try to resist that. I'm reading that right now, and I'm still reading Good Material by Dolly Alderton. I have no idea why it's taking me so long to finish this book. It's a perfectly fine book. I think I'm just very distracted. So that's pretty much all I have on the reading front. Tell me about you. You just came back from vacation in Costa Rica, so I'm assuming you got through some good stuff.
I did not.
Uh-oh.
I didn't.
Sorry,
I took 5 books with me, you know, because it was a pretty substantial vacation. I was there for, I mean, including travel days, I was there for 10 days. So like part of the Friday that I traveled, part of the Sunday when I returned. But in between, I had a solid 8 days, you know, in a town where basically you just go to kind of surf, eat, drink, and they have like fun activities at all the bars and stuff during the evening. So it was, but I just relaxed for the most part when I was at the pool or at the beach. Well, first of all, Costa Rica is very near to the equator. So 97 degrees, not very far from the equator, is some heat. Mm-hmm. So I spent a lot of time just laying out, looking at the bodies of the water, you know, when I wasn't checking out the sites or stuff like that. And it was just great people watching, you know, great people watching, great ocean watching. There's like all kinds of animals that are running around, you know, like an iguana surprised me because he was having lunch over my head when I was having lunch. And, you know, there's monkeys. And so I was distracted too. And I just needed rest more than anything else. Yeah.
So what books did you bring with you?
I brought an odd assortment. I brought Jhumpa Lahiri's latest with me, Roman Story, which I had picked up probably back in October because I was going to be reading it with my friend. And it's so funny because neither one of us has cracked a page of this book. We're just like, yeah, we're going to read it and get together and have brunch and chat about it. And I've seen her a bunch of times. And each time we talk about how we have not opened this book yet. So it was my intention to take this, you know, it's Roman stories. It's like short stories about people living in Rome. And I think they're connected stories. I really love Jhumpa Lahiri. So excited to do that. I didn't even know if it left the suitcase. I'm not even sure.
It doesn't seem like a beach read, to be honest with you.
Right. And I think that was my problem too, because what I tried to do before I left was I went and I looked at my shelves and was trying to, you know, pick some books that I have had on my shelf for a very long time, wanted to read, and just felt like this would be a good opportunity. One of the other books I took was Paulo Coelho's The Alchemist, I think it is. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing about that book for so long, and it's like philosophical and life-changing and this and that. So I took that to read, you know, it was pretty short. And I don't think that one left the suitcase either.
Okay.
What was really funny is one of the place where I was staying, which was lovely, is basically called the Garden of Eden Boutique Hotel, but it's in Spanish. So I will spare you my Spanish. They had, like, I guess everyone's traveling, they're reading. So they had a shelf where people have left books. And
vacation.
Yes.
Shelf.
Yes. So, and of course, you know, it's international. There was like German books and Italian books, but they did have a copy of Ruth Ware's 0 Days. And I read that in like 2 days.
Okay.
Because it's more like a beach read. You know, Ruth Ware comes out with one book every year she's like a one a year type. And I've read most of her books. I think there's two that I'm missing, but she basically writes these mysteries, like mysteries between friends. And I would say no matter what kind of environment she sets it in, there's always like this closed room element to it. Like when I read The Death of Mrs. Westaway, it is about this young woman who is like a psychic or a tarot card reader. She feels like she's been mistakenly picked for this opportunity. Like people think that she is related to Mrs. Westaway, and she goes to stay at this house where, you know, they are going to be reading the will, and she gets to meet this family. And of course, you know, there's always something happening or some type of mystery, but it involves just like the people who were attending this event, this, you know, reading of the will. She has a lying game, which is about a group of college friends who are going away together, and something mysterious happens at the place where they're at. And, you know, they have to confront all of their things from the past. So all of her novels are pretty close. And this is not different, 0 Days. It's about this hacker couple, like they break in to try to steal secrets. And of course, you know, the husband is killed while she's out on a job. And when she comes back, she wants to figure out what has happened to him. You know, is it connected to her? Is it connected to him? But unfortunately, the police feel like she is involved in this. So she's on the run. So again, another kind of closed circle where she's investigating her family and her friends and trying to come up with like what has happened with her husband. Like, why has this job that they just did, why has it gone so wrong? And I got through that in a couple of days. I will say, she does something different with each book, even though there is this theme of like a close group of people, something happening, and it has to be within this close circle. Like she's not dealing with vast populations of people. Like it's all about the people that you're getting to know. And the husband, basically, he's only alive in the first few chapters, but the bonding and the camaraderie and all of the things that she's able to accomplish, which made him, you know, like make his death and him being gone from her life, it was so palpable and just like so well done, even though there was a lot of action in this book. Like she is the part of the couple who, if they were trying to like steal secrets from a company, she was the one who was on the ground and like physically had to move through the space and navigate the space. And he was more like the voice in her ear. He's looking up things on the computer, you know, like breaking into the security systems, telling her which door to go through. So I think that was the part that lost me in the book, is that there was just so much action. you know, like someone's chasing her, she's diving under things, she's like trying to break into places. There's like a lot of suspense like that. And then just like a lot of running, jumping, doing things. So that part of the book, I could kind of, you know, eyes glaze over kind of thing. Yeah. But as a whole, I think like it was solid, like, because I really desperately wanted to see what was going on. I think my pet peeve sometimes with books like this is when they make the main character not realize like really, really basic things that you is obvious is going on. I guess that's her way of maybe inserting the reader, but just like she could be a little smarter to, you know, have the experience and the skills that she had. So that was the one book that I actually finished though. And it was not one that I brought myself. So I was planning to bring these books and read them and, you know, leave them on this vacation shelf. So I didn't. The only one that I left on the vacation shelf was the one that came from there originally, which was 0 Days by Ruth Ware.
Got it. Well, you know.
Yeah. I mean, there'll be other vacations, you know, other times to get some reading in. This was just not it.
Yeah. Well, that happened.
I should have taken my fantasy books.
Just pure total escape.
Right. So tell us about the bookstore. What's going on?
Yeah. So, well, a couple of things. My bookstore partner and I went to a bookstore training boot camp program in Florida last month.
It is so amazing the things that they have. Who knew that there was something like this?
I know, such a thing. Right. So there's a bookstore in Florida in Amelia Island called the Story and Song Bookstore. And the married couple who owns that store also have a bookstore consulting company called Paz and Associates. And twice a year, they hold a 2-day bookstore boot camp for people like me who want to open an independent bookstore. So there were about 20, maybe 22 of us from all over the country who converged for 2 days from like a Sunday to a Tuesday in Florida. And it was great. We learned a ton and we covered lots of ground. We talked about inventory and publisher relationships and how to organize a bookstore, how to hire people, how to, you know, keep your books. Like, it just was super hands-on, very, very like tangible takeaways. And they had the training session in a kind of event space that they have, which is on the second floor. So then we could go downstairs to the bookstore and kind of poke around and ask them questions about, you know, how various ways things work. They have a little cafe in there. So it was really fun. And it was nice to just be around this cohort of people who are all in varying stages of doing what we're doing. So some people are, you know, one woman there, I think, is actually opening a store in May. So she's like pretty far along. Some people are just kind of dipping their toe in and thinking about it and just wanted to learn more. And then there was kind of everybody in between. So that was really fun. There was actually, I introduced myself, and in the break, someone came up to me and they said, "Are you Gail from the Readerly Report?"
Oh, so, I thought you were going to say from Every Day I Write the Book.
both. She knew me from the Readerly Report. And then she said, "I think I also do your reading challenge." So that was kind of nice. So
how hi, fun.
Julie, if you're listening. So she is opening a bookstore with her friend, most likely in a town about an hour outside of New York City. They both live in the city, but they may be doing it outside the city. So anyway, so that was a really fun experience and really worth it. And I'm really glad that we went. And as far as our plans are coming, the biggest challenge for us has been finding a place and finding a place the right size and the right rent, the right landlord, you know, without requiring too much construction. So we've got it down to two different places right now, and it's looking like one of them at least will come through. So we've exchanged LOI terms. So what that means is we've talked to the landlord, trying to narrow down just the most basic terms of the contract. What's the lease? What's the term of the lease? What will they pay for? What kind of a financial guarantee do we have to put up? Things like that. And once those terms are decided on, then they'll send us a full lease, which will get reviewed. But at least we will have negotiated the main stuff beforehand, before we get to the lease itself. So if we get the place I think we're going to get, it will require, there's a tenant in there right now, so that tenant has to be notified and the tenant has to vacate. And then there's like some serious construction that has to get done, but I think that the landlord will do that construction, which means it will take much less time because they're a big you know, commercial landlord that has all kinds of construction people and
resources. You know, right.
Yeah. That they can do it quickly. So I think that if we end up in that location, we're looking at a fall opening.
Wow.
I definitely want to open before Christmas because that's when you make the big bulk of your money for the year. So I don't want to lose out on a Christmas season. So I'd like to be open by like September, October.
Oh, if that's we get amazing. The other
space, yeah, the other space we're looking at is much more move-in ready. Mm-hmm. So if we got that other space, we could be in there probably by the end of the summer.
Okay.
So yeah, so it is exciting. And so even though it sounds like I'm not reading and not involved in book stuff, I actually am like immersed in this all day long. And
yep.
I feel like, you know, I'm trying to do consulting work so that I can be making money that I can plow into the store. So I've got kind of that. It's at the end. The consulting work is basically a full-time job. And then on top of that, there's all of the research and negotiating and calls and documents and learning that's going into this bookstore. So sadly, the thing I which is propelling me to open a bookstore, because I love to read, is what's going out the window. So I guess this is good practice because everyone says it. If don't open a bookstore if you think you're going to have time to read.
Because you could be running the business.
Exactly. And meanwhile, I'm just acquiring books left and right from many sources, and like they're just piling up all over the place. So usual. But that's the plan. So I think, you know, now that we're getting more public about this and or more now that things are becoming more definite, I'm becoming more public about this. Like I really hadn't been saying anything about it for a while because I was building this consulting practice and I didn't want them to think I was like a short timer. But this is becoming more real and more serious. And, you know, all of our friends know about it. And like, we're just starting to tell people in the community. So I'm going to be more vocal and there will be a place that you can sign up to get updates and get on our email list so that you can start getting our email newsletter. So once that's all finalized, I'll announce that here so that if listeners want to follow along on this journey as the store hopefully turns into reality, then there'll be ways to do that.
Amazing. I love it. I love it. I feel like you're so much closer than I thought. Fall, summer, fall. Amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's exciting. I just spent yesterday a big chunk of change on the first installment of three installments for our point of sale system. So the point of sale system is not only the system that you use to check people out and ring them up and get all the sales, but it also manages all of the inventory. So it interfaces with all of the publisher inventory lists, and that's how you reorder stuff. And there's a number of these softwares out there. You know, there's only a finite number of bookstores in the world, but there are a couple of these different software providers. And it's bookstores are such a idiosyncratic business that you can't just use some random inventory system. It has to be designed specifically for books and the whole book industry. So there's a number of them out there, and I started doing research like over a year ago into them. And people were saying, oh, there's this really good one called Book Manager, but they only onboard a certain number of clients per year and they have a wait list. And, you know, you have to get on the wait list and they only open the wait list up at certain times. And somehow my timing was good. And last February, I put our name on the wait list. And thank God I did, because if we signed up right now, we wouldn't get their software until sometime in 2025. But our timing worked out really well. So we are just starting to, you know, get onboarded onto their system, and we keep kicking the can down the road with them because the lease is taking so much longer than we thought. But I was finally like, we have to just pay them because I don't want them to be like, okay, you guys are not serious or this isn't going to happen. So yesterday I sent them the first installment and I was like, oh my God, this is real. That's the largest check I've written so far for this. That and the URL for the store, you know, so now we own the domain. But I was like, okay, I'm several thousand dollars into this now. So this better happen.
It's going to happen. It's so funny, the creation process. The trainer that I'm working with, I just remember last year, he finally got to the point where he wanted to open his own gym. So it's kind of similar, you know, locations and building things out and, you know, troubleshooting. But it's so funny. I feel like I know several people who are in the middle of launching something.
It's the third act, you know? Like getting to, I don't know, get to a certain point in life and you want to do something different. So that's where I am. Ah, but it's fun. Oh, do you want me to tell you the name of the store? Have I told you this before?
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay. So this store is going to be called Wonderland Books.
Nice.
Yeah, because we think that wonder books are a wonderland.
They yes.
Keep you a wonderland. So not in the kind of juvenile Alice in Wonderland way, but more just that.
The magic of books way.
Magic of books, right. And they help sort of instill wonder at any age, in any area. It doesn't have to be something fantastical, but it can just be, you know, learning more about something you care about. So that is our name, Wonderland Books. And we will be in downtown Bethesda in one of, likely one of our two
locations. One location or another.
One or the other. And so when it's time, I'll share like our social media profiles. We haven't posted anything yet. We're kind of waiting till the lease is signed and then we feel like we can start to actually put content out.
Right.
So that's it.
All right. So in addition to that, we had planned for today to talk about some new books out in paperback over the last, I don't know, I took a look back till November. I always forget when the last paperback show we did, but I have a couple of things to share.
Can I just say one thing before we jump into the paperback?
Sure.
You and I talked last time about the show One Day.
Oh, yeah. I meant to ask you about that.
Okay. I binged it this week.
And what did you think?
Have you watched it?
Yes.
Oh, you have watched it?
Yes.
I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, it was so good, right?
So good.
So if you haven't watched One Day, maybe pop out now for a few minutes so that we can properly discuss it.
We could do spoiler free.
All right. Well, the ending, though, you know, it's so funny because I read books and I'm not sure because I used to rate books for Goodreads. I don't anymore. And I haven't in a long time. And I think when I first started rating books on Goodreads, I really tried to adhere to the guidelines. So like a 3 was good, 2 was okay, you know, 4 was very good, and 5 is just like exceptional. So One Day for me was a 3. Like I remember liking it, but not loving it. I feel like I like the movie a lot more and I really enjoyed this series. And I wonder if the 3 was at that point in my life when it was just like, oh, this was a good book. This is part of the reason why I stopped rating stuff on Goodreads because my scale, I had no solid scale for how I was rating things. Mm-hmm. And it just makes me wonder because I have enjoyed both. And I just wonder if I would like the book now. And how much did I really like the book? Because the book, of course, is really vague. And I will tell you at the end, the ending, I thought it was the other way around in terms of what happened.
You mean that's how your memory was left?
Yeah, I remembered it being reversed. I didn't remember it being the way it ended, you know,
interesting.
The ending part. And I'm just like, but it was always that way.
Hmm.
Was it?
No. I actually have the book and I sort of was flipping back and forth.
Okay.
It's very, very faithful to the book. Even to just, there's entire lines of dialogue that track perfectly. And you know, the author, David Nichols, was one of the producers of the Netflix series.
Did he produce the movie?
I don't know. I didn't watch the movie. I don't like Anne Hathaway that much.
Oh, so you're not going to watch The Idea of You? It looks, the trailer looks so good.
Oh, it does.
It does.
I don't know.
I thought you got over your whatever with Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, she redeemed herself when this one episode of Modern Love, which is the Amazon Prime show that is an adaptation of
the New York Times
column. Right. And she was in one. I thought she was really, really good in that. She played a woman who had bipolar disorder, and I thought she did a really good job. No, I mean, I don't know if I don't think anything's going to hold a candle to this series as far as remakes of One Day, adaptations of One Day. But I thought the acting was superb. I thought the writing, the adaptation was perfect. Oh, you just get so sucked in and it's just.
Do you think you would watch it again?
Yes, I would watch it again. I loved him. I loved her. Since you and I had spoken about this the last time we were on, I just wanted to close the circle on it. But yeah, I recommend it. If you read the book, watch this. If you did not read the book, still watch it. It's really good.
I remember just being in the kitchen at work, total water cooler. You know, someone was just like, oh my God, I cried so much. I think, and when I watched it, I'm pretty sure it was I was up at my mom's, my aunt was over, and we just watched the entire thing. Like, I ended up staying really late. Yeah, I think I watched that entire series in that one day.
It's very easy to binge.
It's like, just one more episode, just one more episode. And then when you get down to two episodes, it's like, okay, we have to finish.
Yeah. You know it's bad when I'm at my son's baseball practice, and I discovered that my car, I have a Tesla, and the screen, if you are not driving, if you are not in motion, you can watch Netflix on your screen.
Oh my gosh, Gail.
I know. So I sat there during his baseball practice and watched on TV. I watched it on the screen. It's actually a really great, like, if you need to go, you know, you're on a road trip and you have to charge your car, like, then you could just watch a TV show.
Yeah. It's very smart.
Yeah. It's kind of a nice little feature.
That is so funny how much the baseball practice and baseball games and Gail sneaking some some book or
like you never
movie.
You watched me play. I was like, oh, sorry. Didn't want to tell him why. All right. Paperbacks. Okay. So what do you have?
Back in, I think, March 12th, a book that we both read, and I think I enjoyed it a little bit more than you, is out in paperback. It was very anticipated. Rebecca Mackay's I Have Some Questions for You. Actually, I think it came out in February in paperback. So I'm always curious with paperbacks, like how much they change the cover, because I feel like that gives you an indication of how well it sold, and or if they're trying to reach a different audience with the paperback release. Sometimes the covers stay pretty much the same, and I always feel like that means it sold well. They feel like they've got the audience that they want, and now they, you know, are bringing them in for to buy the book that's in paperback for people who enjoy paperbacks for whatever reason. And I feel like when the cover is really different, then sometimes the book did not sell well, or they're trying to reach a completely different audience with the paperback version that they felt like, you know, I think the marketing is different with the whatever the hardcover investment is. So I just like to look, and I'm just trying to find if they actually, how much they changed this. Because I felt like there were mixed reviews on this book. Mm. You thought it was okay, right?
I thought it was okay. I didn't like it as much as her earlier stuff. And I don't think the cover did it any favors. I mean, I don't think the cover did anything to enhance it.
Right.
So I would be curious to know what the, I'll check out the paperback cover right now. This was actually on my list too. Yeah, the cover was sort of like, I don't really even understand the hardcover cover. Like, it's got these letters.
And they kept it.
Oh, they did keep it.
Yep.
You're right.
And when I'm thinking about stuff like that, I always check out the original publication date and see how long it was actually before they decided to bring it out in paperback. So these,
how long was it out?
These are my sleuthing tips. Well, it came out last month, and it originally, the hardcover version came out February 21st. So it did well, a year. That's about what it is when it's doing well. What book was it? I think it was.
Really? It was Crawdads.
Yeah. Crawdads. It was in hardback forever. Like, it was like, I feel like it was two or three years because of how it was selling as a hardcover.
So it's usually 1 year in between the hardcover and the paperback if it's a, you know, decently well-selling book.
Yes.
I guess I'm going to know this very soon.
Yes. Yes. You'll know it for your own store. I'm just nosy and started noticing things like that. I think sometimes if a book is not doing really well, like I've seen them come as soon as like 3 months later, it'll be in paperback and it's like, whoa, guess this missed the mark. And, you know, so that next cover is a way to say different things. I'm not sure what this cover is trying to say either. I agree with you.
No, it's like this drippy, creepy,
like, is face. That paint dripping? Like,
yeah,
is,
I know.
Is it supposed to be kind of scary? I'm not sure. I think I didn't pay much attention to the cover because it was a book that I knew I wanted to read based on just loving the one before so much. But yeah.
Right.
I don't think that if I didn't know who she was and I saw that, that it would be like, oh, let me read this. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's right.
So what have you got?
Yeah, I would not have to pick that up. Well, my like all-time one of my all-time favorite books from last year is Romantic Comedy by Curtis Sittenfeld. And that is coming out on the 26th, which is next week. So, and I think they did change the cover of that one. I remember seeing her post it paperback. Yep. They changed the cover a little. They kept the kind of the color scheme of it, but they changed the cover, I don't know, to look a little more, I don't know. It's actually not that different, except now, of course, it's got a big Reese's Book Club sticker on it. this is one of my really all-time favorite books from last year. It is about a writer at SNL, well, an SNL type show, has a different name on in the book, who kind of falls for the musical guest who's on one week. And then it seems to be a mutual thing. And then they sort of, there's like a misunderstanding and nothing ever happens. And then the pandemic hits and the two of them start to correspond during the pandemic. And so there's kind of three parts to the book, what happens before the pandemic, then during the pandemic. And then, you know, if there's an after, this is a romance. So, I mean, I'm probably not giving away too much, but I just thought this book was perfect. I loved the back, you know, behind the scenes stuff at the SNL show. I love the interplay between this writer and the guy. I think that the dialogue was fantastic. I love Curtis Sittenfeld's writing. So for me, this was, you know, a home run. And now that it's out in paperback, even better. So March 26th, this would make a great beach read. It's just a really good book.
And it was out for about a year too. Okay. The hardcover came out April 4th, 2023. And it also had the Reese's label back then.
Oh, it did. Okay.
They did change it. They kept the color scheme, I want to say.
Yeah. But they kind of put like, yeah, you can see it's got a little bit of a road trip element to it. That part is not really evident from the first one. The first one had sort of an old fashioned feel to it. I think they perked it up a little.
Right. And maybe made it a little bit more evident what the book is about. I mean, when it's been out this long, I think, you know, you can use the paperback to kind of bring in a different audience since it did well with the original.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Okay. What do you got next?
The House in the Pines by Anna Reyes. It was also a Reese's Book Club pick. And I feel like it might have done decently too. It's so funny that these books are Reese's Book Club's picks. So The House in the Pines is about this woman who's basically haunted by her friend's death. When they were 17 years old in high school, Maya sees her friend just die in front of this man, Frank. And she is convinced that Frank had something to do with it. She knows that, you know, Frank has committed a crime, but she's not able to prove it. You know, like no one really believes her. And she kind of tries to get on with her life. So she's in a relationship where she's expecting to marry him. She has a shaky relationship with her parents, and also getting along with his family just because she is not really, like, her life has been held together by basically her seeing a psychiatrist and being prescribed some pills, which she is abusing and is trying to detox from. When she hears the news story about the same thing happening to another woman who, you know, is just all of a sudden drops dead, and she feels like it is this man has to be related to it, and she wants to do some investigating. So this came out originally in January of 2023, and just keeping in our themes of checking the covers, this cover is like exactly the same. The original was like a house among pine trees, and it has like this key superimposed on top of it. And December 5th, 2023 is when it came out. So about a year as well. And I guess they really thought that they hit the audience that they wanted to get with this and continue with, because it's virtually unchanged. Mm-hmm. I really like this book. This book scored really low on Goodreads, like a 3.1.
Wow. That is low for Goodreads.
Yeah. But I thought it was enjoyable.
All right. My next one is Games and Rituals by Katherine Heine. She is one of my auto-buy authors. I've really enjoyed her other books, and this one is a collection of short stories. I'm looking over my review of it, and some of the stories I remember kind of left more of an impression than others. I don't look back at that and think, a plot is jumping out at me, but I just always enjoy her writing there. It's like a little bit quirky and original, but it doesn't feel forced or weird. It just feels really human and normal. And I just have always enjoyed her writing a lot. So when I read this collection, I said, while short stories often leave me dissatisfied, I did not have that problem here. Each of these was like a mini novel with a satisfying ending.
Hmm.
So if you're a Catherine Heine fan from either Single Carefree Mellow, Early Morning Riser, or Standard Deviation, then pick this one up too.
I like that you said they were like novels. Would I like this?
You like that I said that?
Well, yeah. I mean, because my complaint with short stories is that so many times they're just kind of weird. They have like this weird perspective and you're just kind of left dangling. Like, and I'm just kind of like, what was that?
I don't think so. I think these are a little more
fleshed out,
a little more complete. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have like some closure, which I don't think you would necessarily complain about. I mean, obviously they're short, so they're not going to be quite as memorable or as meaty as a novel, but and this book is only 223 pages, so this is a short book of short stories.
kind of like Roman stories, but I think I'll like that.
Yeah, now I'm looking at the cover's the same. I think it's, let's see, looking at the paperback, March 5th, same cover.
And did it come out about a year ago?
Good question.
Probably.
It came out on March 5th, and the hardcover.
Was this Games and Rituals, you said?
Yeah. Hardcover came out
April of 2023.
Oh, yeah. So a little less than a year.
April 18th. Yeah. Anything after 6 months, 6 to 9 months is pretty good. You're closing in 11 months, 12 months. It's when I see things very suddenly, like 3 months later, or it's just like, ooh.
Right. Okay. What else do you have?
Pineapple Street by Jenny Jackson. Also made it into hardcover. I mean, into paperback. We both read that book. I just feel like it was just one of those books. You read it. It was fine. Like, I think I enjoyed it at the moment, but I didn't love it. It was a like, not love.
This was a like, not like for me.
Fairly unrealistic. It originally came out March 7th of 2023.
This was like the publishing industry's like big book last year. So I'm actually surprised that it's coming out in paperback so quickly.
It did its year. I think this is one of those books. It was fine. I think she just got such good placement because she was a publishing insider. I think that helped her a bit. And it was kind of like rich people fiction about these one percenters living on Pineapple Street in Brooklyn and just kind of like the ins and outs of the sons and daughters of the family. Like one has married someone who one of his sisters thinks is a gold digger and like one of the sisters is having relationship problems. It was kind of like, you know, that kind of sweeping thing, the parents making them show up for dinner and them being in various stages of being able to take care of themselves or not. It was, I don't know, it was just kind of like fine. I think they hyped it up to be more than it was. I think they, first of all, just please don't compare books like this to Edith Wharton.
Totally.
I mean, that's where they led with this.
My God.
It was like this class drama, Gilded Age, you know, Edith Wharton. So it was never going to live up to that when I saw that. But it's just like a simple beach read. And if it had been marketed like that, I probably would have.
Not even. It was boring.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Beach read, you want to at least like sink yourself in it and lose yourself in it. That one, oh my God, it was boring.
It was pretty basic.
Yeah. Okay, well, my last one is Mame, which did you read that as well?
I did.
Yeah. So Mame is about a woman, young woman living in London who is going through a lot. She's got a father that she is taking care of. Her mother is living in Ghana. They're Ghanaian. Her mother lives in Ghana most of the year, leaving her to take care of her father who has Parkinson's in London. And so it's just about this young woman who's trying to kind of find a life for herself and have some independence and experience what it's like to be kind of a carefree 20-something, despite the shackles of family obligation that keep holding her back. I thought it was really good. I like that book.
It was.
Jessica George. Yeah. It was a good book.
Did they give it a glow up?
I think it I don't know. That's what I was just going to check. Let's see. Because it had a nice cover. Very pretty, bright, floral, eye-catchy cover. Paperback cover is
the same.
Wow. The design departments are in tough times at the publishers. No one's changing anything.
But this was a read with Jenna. I mean, this is kind of interesting. I feel like all the books that we've discussed, except for maybe the first one, they're all book club picks. And, you know, I think that when you're dealing with Reese Witherspoon or with the Jenna book club, I guess they're really tweaking these and targeting them towards the audience that they want. And maybe because they are book club picks, my guess would be that because the cover is so visible, because it was a Reese or a read with Jenna, that they would keep it the same because it has the, I want to say recognizability, but that's not a real word, but that. Plus, it's now at a lower price point.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, when it has recognition, you want people to walk in and say, oh, that's that Read with Jenna book that I wanted to pick up. And look, it's $10 cheaper.
Right.
I'm going to buy it.
Exactly. All right. I think that's right. It for me.
Okay. I wanted to give a little shout out to a book that's my blow dry book.
Ooh.
Which I'm enjoying a lot. It's called Generations. It's by a woman named Jean Twenge. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that name right. Twenge. And in it, she goes through all of the living generations and really, really analyzes them, starting with the Silence. So the Silence are people born, it's the ones that comes right before the boomers. So it's like
it's in like early 1900s.
No, that's too far back. That's the Greatest Generation.
Oh.
These are people who were basically born, who were alive for World War II.
So 1920s? Generation.
People who were born in the 20s and 30s.
I think 1925 to 1945 is what it says, the Silence.
45. Okay, right. So you've got the 20 years before the boomers, and it opens with them. Then it goes to boomers, which is where I am right now. Then, of course, is Gen X, my favorite. And then we'll get into millennials and Gen Z. And then I forgot what they call the people who come after Gen Z. So I think they have a number of names. Yeah. I'm not sure what is stuck yet.
Or Zoomers.
Something like that. Yeah, right. Because they can't move on Zoom for their formative year. But it's really good. It's really interesting. And she backs her stuff up with lots of great data and charts. So the pages go by kind of quickly because even though it's like a dense nonfiction hardcover, you know, half the pages are like half full because they've got a graph on it. But I don't know. She's got great explanations. It really makes you think, and I'm enjoying it. So I think it's going to be a while, even though it's overdue at the bookstore. I mean, at the library. So I've got to deal with that guilt. But, I'm reading it slowly because it's a blow dry book.
And it's 560 pages.
Oh, is it that long? It doesn't feel that long. Again, it goes by quickly.
That's good. A lot of it is notes.
Yes, I think a lot of it is notes at the end. So if you're interested in kind of generations and demographics and how, like sort of looking at like social history, like how does technology affect, like actually it's interesting. One of her main theses is that technology has been a huge driver of change and shaping all of these generations. So like the boomers, even though we kind of laugh at boomers now and dismiss them as like hopelessly, you know, incapable of dealing with technology.
They got it started.
Technology, right. And technology transformed their lives tremendously. And even the generation before them, so the Silence, technology that we completely take for granted, things like washing machines and, you know, like things that just made it so you didn't have to spend your entire day doing housework, were incredibly liberating as far as getting women out of the house, getting women into jobs, things like that. So it just, I don't know, things that we take for granted and don't really think about as being major generation shifters because we've lived with them for so long, they in fact really did have a big impact. So,
well, with the boomers, wasn't the big thing, you know, like with, I guess, what did they have in the office, fax machines or?
Oh, I don't know. We haven't gotten to that yet.
I don't know. I just remember reading different articles about a paperless office. I don't know that we ever got, I mean, I think there's definitely less paper, but with the advent of some of this stuff, I think that that's what they were aiming for. I mean, everyone has their technology and you can't keep up with all of it. And two, there's so much stuff coming out now that I'm just like, I don't need that. I don't need to learn that.
Okay. Well, that's all I have. We'll talk again in a few weeks. I'm on break next week. So maybe I'll get some reading done.
Ooh. Staycation kind of break. I'm coming to DC in June, so I'm hoping you'll be around.
Oh, good. Yeah, I will be around. I would love to see you. I'm going to LA to visit my daughter.
Okay.
But we're going to do some touristy stuff because we've never taken my son to do any of the, you know, we're going to go to the Universal Studios and the Warner Brothers tour and things like that.
Fun. All right. Well, until next time.
Happy reading.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Readerly Report. You can find all of our shows on iTunes or at thereaderlyreport.com. Please join our Facebook group, Readerly Report Readers, where you can talk to other listeners about the reading life. You can also find Nicole at nicolebonilla.com and me, Gail, at everydayiwritethebookblog.com. Finally, we'd love it if you left us a review on iTunes and told your book-loving friends about us.